This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Lefty Pinkos is here to celebrate all things queer and decidedly left of centre.
We took the children from their mothers.
For the pain of these stolen generations, we say sorry.
Each week we'll aim a non-mainstream spotlight to our community and get gritty with all kinds of titillating queer folk.
From artists, activists, freaks, and generally wayward but passionate peeps. Hosted by Brian and Kat.
Yes, that's right.
You're right. You're listening to Lefty Pinkos here on Joy 94.9. And thanks to Kyriakos for Kyriakos's The Gold and the Beautiful.
And you're with us for the next hour.
You've got us for the next hour. And this week on Lefty Pinkos, we're going to reflect on the 13th of February, which was a very important day.
Last Thursday?
Within Australian history. Last Thursday, it was the Apology Day as we know it. And it's been 6 years since the federal government, and in particular Kevin Rudd, apologised to members of the Stolen Generation for, I guess, the past policies, the atrocities, the genocidal activities, let's not mince words here on air, in relation to removing Aboriginal people from their families and their communities. And, Kath, we went down to the Apology Day concert at the Sydney Lion Music Bowl, didn't we?
This is a tough assignment to have, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours or so among some of Australia's most amazing musicians and performers, let alone, and that's just who was on stage among the crowd of people who were passionately engaged in many different ways for the event. And so Brian and I roamed.
We roamed and we spoke to a lot of different people, members of the Stolen Generation. We spoke to non-Indigenous people there to celebrate the landmark watershed moment in Australia's history. And it was a really beautiful event, wasn't it, Kath?
Like, it was awesome. Oh, I'm screaming. It was awesomeness.
Yeah, like, I mean, totally. Yeah, Kath's a little bit kind of, I mean, it was quite a passionate event. And, like, I mean, to hear people on stage singing, talking, expressing their feelings and their experiences from being removed, and I guess what it means for them to heal. And so it was a beautiful night last Thursday, but not only have we got some voices that we're going to air as part of this week here on Lefty Pinkos, we've also got Eva Jo Edwards, who is a member of the Stolen Generation. She's a Muddy Muddy woman from, which is, I guess, sort of New South Wales. And she works with a local organisation called Connecting Home, which assists members of the Stolen Generation who have been removed from their families and communities in, I guess, finding healing, finding services. And interestingly enough, they don't just deal with members who are affected by the Stolen Generations, but they're also like kids and the grandkids of people who have been removed are still affected by the past policies. So it's going to be a pretty important show this week on Lefty Pinkos, and we're just going to give you a bit of a snippet. This is a man called Uncle John Gorry, who we met down at the Apology concert last Thursday. He used to work with the state government, but this is just a little bit of a snippet we'd like to show you as part of an intro for the show. And this is what he had to say.
Well, why I'm here is to represent my family that have been taken away many, many years ago from Lake Tyres down East Gippsland. It's a sad story what they went through, and my uncle and my auntie wasn't allowed to be together. And, yeah, so when the apology came out, I was so very emotional about it. I still get emotion on this sort of day and this year on the 13th of Feb every year, you know, for the last 6 years.
And that's on the night. Now, I have to tell you, it was a bit of a wild night. You will hear some mic pops in here and some general loudness going on.
And also, we've chosen music this week on Lefty Pinkos that reflects, I guess, the experience of Stolen Generation members, and we would be pretty amiss if we didn't play Archie Roach's Took the Children Away. So we'd like to start off with that track tonight here on Lefty Pinkos. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Joy 94.9.
The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
You're with Joy 94.9 here on Lefty Pinkos, and it's Brian and Kath, and we have a special feature on the Apology Day that happened last Thursday here. Well, I mean, actually, not here in Melbourne, we had a concert, but all over the nation, Australia marked the national apology to the Stolen Generations from the federal government. And this week we're joined by Eva Jo Edwards, who is a Muddy Muddy woman who works with Connecting Home, an organisation dedicated to servicing members of the Stolen Generation and their offspring and families. In healing, the legacy that they hold as Stolen Generation members is one that, I guess, the path of healing is, I guess, a good one. But welcome to Joy, Eva Jo. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Brian. And Kay,
Eva.
Now, I guess, can you just give us a bit, like, tell us about yourself, because I'd just like to, I've mentioned you're a Stolen Generations member and you work with Connecting Home, but, yeah, who's your mob? And, tell us a bit about your experience as a member of the Stolen Generations.
I guess, Muddy Muddy, Yorta Yorta, Boomerang.
Yeah.
So, I sort of cover a lot of Southeast Australia. So,
yeah,
pretty excited about that. I guess I'm mum, six kids, and so I guess I work to hopefully try and make a difference and educate. Education is probably my biggest thing that I really love to do.
Through Connecting Home, you're often called out to different community groups to talk about what it's like to be a member of the Stolen Generations. What kind of people do you speak to?
I guess, you know, speak from primary school, you know, secondary, TAFEs, university, corporate, government. So all aspects of community, and I guess it's about trying to break down those barriers of, I don't know if you want to call it ignorance, of not knowing Australia's history and this being a really huge part of our history that's really important for us to know.
And what sort of questions and responses do you get from the crowds?
Oh, it's not so much crowds, but, you know.
Groups.
You're awesome.
The groups.
The groups.
Yep. The biggest mob.
Yeah, like 60 people, you know, that's a crowd.
It was a huge crowd the other night. I'm still a bit sort of floating on thousands.
Oh, no, that was, awesome. I thought it was an awesome event at the end of the evening. But
in your groups?
In my little groups, you know, I guess it's that lack of understanding that, you know, the policies put in place at the time and how that could actually happen in the forcible removal of Aboriginal children. And I guess our organisation is not only about that, it's also about those of us that were fostered, adopted, institutionalised, because it was about being disconnected from family as well as community and that loss of identity. So that's the important thing that I like to get across, you know. And that it continued to happen, and in some cases it still does continue to happen, but on a different aspect, our kids are getting lost within the systems, you know, and not being, I guess, that self-empowerment of identity and, you know, knowing where we've come from, because that's a huge part of, you know, once you're removed and you don't know where you come from and where you've originated from, is a really hard thing, and it's a long process. It's an almost a lifetime process to find out who we are and where we've come from.
And to find that healing, yeah?
Absolutely. And I honestly believe that healing, well, you know, I'll look at myself, and healing is a process that will take me till the end of my days. Mm. You know, it's something that haunts me forever, you know, being removed from your family. And, you know, I don't have regrets, but I do have the loss of family, and that's my biggest loss that I will never, ever get back, you know, relationship that a brother and sister has and a mum and dad have. Those things I've lost forever, you know. But the rest of it I work on every day, and the relationship with my children that I adore and love immensely, you know, they take up my whole life. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're the things I have to, you know, continue to move along and empower them and encourage them, and, you know, making sure that they are strong in their identity and who they are and where they're from. And I believe I've done my job, You know, I have six amazing children, and I'm a nan.
They are amazing.
And
yes.
I'm a nan.
And you're a grandmother now, yes. Yeah. Eva Joy, I mean, do you know that Joy's a lesbian and gay radio station? And I guess just to kind of find a parallel, but often there is a discrimination attached to being gay or lesbian within our society, I mean, within legislation or laws and whatnot. When you go out and do your education stuff, do you find the barriers you're breaking down are often just there because they're racist or because they're prejudiced?
Absolutely. I think that's the biggest, you know, but I think there's also that ignorance, you know, and I'll give an example. Like I spent the weekend with my family, in my non-Aboriginal family, and I'd known, you know, this guy since I was 16 and had no idea what the apology was about. And it's a bit crazy sitting here, Aboriginal person, and him not knowing my history, you know. But it was, he actually thought the apology was about Captain Cook's coming to this country and taking over our land and our peoples. And he's the most beautiful, beautiful man. Love him to death, you know. But it was just interesting, you know, that that was his perception of what sorry was about. You know, from the government's perspective, you know, or well,
Which means he didn't hear it because it got blanket coverage at the time. I know. I mean, how did he miss it?
But he just didn't. He just didn't get it. He's like, don't get me wrong, love him to death, you know, and been part of my life forever, you know. So it's like, but he just didn't realise about the children being removed and, you know, and it's crazy.
It's crazy, but it's also like, I guess, I mean, even just think back to my education and, like, in high school, we got 2 weeks of Aboriginal studies and it wasn't until, like, unless you make the effort to go and find out.
That's up in a tricky
on country. And then even the education we got was very much around, like, you know, who's that mob up in Central Australia? What's real Aboriginal people look like? Here's a boomerang. And it was really kind of quite, it was very sweeping generalised view of Aboriginal cultures, and so it didn't have much relationship to me as an Aboriginal person. But yeah, like, unless I find that within Australia, I mean, it's changing through your work like yours, Eva Jo, and just the educational system in general, but I find that if from my days, I mean, unless you went out and concertedly researched, looked into, went to university and sought it about in a tertiary level, you didn't know about Indigenous affairs or, you know, what it means and the history of this country. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And I think a lot of our history is based on, you know, from their point of view, is Captain Cook, you know, and that there was nothing before 1788, and that's the tragedy there, you know. So I just... It does mind blow me sometimes, and I shouldn't be. You know, I've been doing this for over 10 years now, and the ignorance of our country is that, like we say, you know, build a bridge, get over it. We've been here long enough. It's 200 years, you know, and it's, well,
there's still a legacy of people
here. I am not ready to do that, and, you know, it's we have a long way to go, you know.
You're listening to Joy 94.9. It's Brian and Kath here chatting to Eva Jo, a member of the Stolen Generations, a muddy, muddy, yorta, yorta woman who's joining us this week in the studios. We'll be back after these announcements.
Joy 94.9.
Grew up in Wamba Wamba country, but my heritage is Tanarong, Bunurong. Being descent of Stolen Gen, this is my grandfather's and great aunties and uncles' day. You know, it's part of their healing, so I'd love to be here as support for them and for the community as a whole.
Now, Stacey, we're here to mark the National Apology with an amazing lineup of performers tonight. But who are you here to see on the stage?
Of course, Uncle Kutcha.
Why do you love Uncle Kutcha?
I guess I'm biased, being my blood.
Well, what's so deadly about Uncle Kutcha?
I've seen him present with Auntie Eva Jo to corporates in regards to Stolen Gen, and I guess, and I know their story at a personal level, but when I'd seen them deliver it in a professional setting and the impact that they had, I just looked at them in a whole new light and respect.
Joy 94.9.
You heard from Stacey Edwards, who was there on the night. We're talking about Apology Day, which, if you've been living anywhere else but in the real world, was last Thursday all across Australia. And here in Melbourne, Brian, Andy and I were let loose, weren't we, Brian?
We were, with a Zoom recorder onto the masses
thousands
that gathered
of people who,
down at the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl.
Yeah, it's this huge, for those who don't know, it's this huge natural amphitheatre with this like big stage at the front of it, and we had a fantastic time.
Yeah, it's usually used for carols by candlelights, but we invaded it with a mob of blackfellas.
Oh, I know. And some great food, too.
It was.
Right now in the studio with us, we have Lefty Pinkos, of course, all of us, but we have with us Eva Jo, who's saying, no, I'm not a Lefty Pinko. Well, you know, welcome to the team.
Thank you. It's been enjoyable.
Now, Stacey Edwards, who we just heard of before that track, mentioned that she's seen you and Uncle Kutcher at educational sessions, and it's changed her perception on you as a person. But, what kind of effect does your education sessions or workshops with the general public, what sort of changes do you see in people?
I guess a lot of people's perceptions are thinking that it happened actually a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I guess when they see, you know, myself and Kutcher up there, it's they get a bit mind blown, because even though, you know, we're sort of middle-aged, but no, would you call me middle-aged?
Well, black don't crack, Eva James.
Oh, that's so true. You are so correct,
darling.
There, sweetie.
You can get away from being in your 20s, darling.
I know. Sorry.
So there you are, you young thing standing up in front of these people.
Yeah, and I guess it's to inform people that it continued. It wasn't something, and it went right up until the 1980s. And I guess it's, even though, you know, recorded says 75, but history needs to finish somewhere, I guess. But I guess I'll do a lot with the Victorian Police Academy and the new recruits and the PSOs. And I guess going there every fortnight, and the relationship between Aboriginal people and police have not been a good one for many long years. And not just with, I guess, the, you know, removal of Aboriginal children, it's also with the
Deaths in custody. And when they chase people and all that, that sort of harassment and...
Yeah, yes, so, you know, I go out there to try and chat. And Scott Davis, he's just, you know...
He's well known to the queer community. He's done a lot of stuff here in at Joy, and he's a legend in our...
He is a policeman. And I guess it's, you know, we've got to change that wall between us, I guess, and it's about trying to help people look at Aboriginal people, I guess, like we are human beings. They learn so much at the academy now, in the sense of, you know, Aboriginal history, and there's so much to us. You know, Stolen Generations is a small part of Australia's history, a very important part, you know, but it's a very small part. So to educate, you know, like for me, for example, being removed from, you know, with police coming into our house and taking us away, and, you know, my thoughts of police was, you know, burn that uniform with you in it, no hesitations.
Hey, really? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because you destroyed my life.
Mm. Yep.
But, you know, it took another policeman to change my views. And then, you know, he was an amazing man, and I just actually seen him as, oh, my God, you are somebody's husband, somebody's... son, somebody's father, you know, and that to me, like, was, you know, wow. And I guess doing the same perception as what you see an Aboriginal person, you know, my tunnel vision was, you're all the same, but you're not all the same. Mm-hmm. We're not all the same. You're not all the same, you know. So it's, you know, breaking down those barriers and saying, hey, underneath there is a human being, just like underneath this skin is a human being. You know, and I think, and don't judge me, you know, I have a story, you know, and underneath all of this, I am a really nice person, and you don't know, you know, that I've raised my children on my own, that I was removed from my family, that I've worked all my entire life, all those things that make me who I am, you know, and I'm a very forgiving person, and the bitterness was there for a very, very long time, but it's not no more, because bitterness only makes you sad and age before my time, I guess, and that's not what I'm about, and I have children to, you know, to make sure that their journey is so much easier than mine, and you know that they are proud of who they are and their acceptance of the broader world, because you know we do bring down the negative, you know, we do give the negativity to our children's, mm-hmm. you yeah. know, and what my views were should not necessarily be my children's, but they were. You know, and whilst I've changed, they are slowly changing.
Yeah, and I grew up with a scepticism and I guess a discrimination toward police being from the Aboriginal community. It's like something you just like, you take on and
you do.
You get wary of police officers and, and it's,
you know, and I guess that's, and I do try to make a difference out there. You know, you don't get to talk to everybody, but, you know, and my views are when I do go and do a session, you know, it's, there might be 20 people in the room, there might be, you know, 500 people in the room. But all I want to do is leave a message with one person, you know. I just want them, because I know that gives that ripple effect. I don't need to change everybody in that room. I only need to change one, because I believe I can change the world one person at a time. And it does happen.
Yeah, it does.
You're with Lefty Pinkos.
Here
Joy, Kath and Brian.
Joy 94.9.
That's right, you're with Joy here, Lefty Pinkos, Brian and Kath, chatting to Eva Jo Edwards. And Eva Jo is a member of the Stolen Generations, and I really do encourage our listeners out there to interact with us tonight. You can SMS us in on 0427 Joy 949, or there's an email, isn't there, Kath?
Yes, at onair@joy.org.au. Yeah, we're very interested in your comments tonight.
And questions, or you might want to throw at Eva Jo here, but we were down last week, last Thursday the 13th of February, down at the Apology concert presented at the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl here in Melbourne, and we had a Vox Pop situation, Kath and I, and we chatted to a lot of different people, and this is Victoria's Aboriginal Children's Commissioner, Andrew Jacquemos, who had a few things to say about the legacy that the Stolen Generations experience leaves on the broader Aboriginal community.
We do need to remember that there are continuing quite a large number of Aboriginal children in our home care and residential care, separated from family and community and many times culture. So we still have a lot of work to do in the community.
You are our state-based Commissioner for Aboriginal Children. And what sort of effect does the legacy of the Stolen Generations have on your work?
There has been an intergenerational impact. So many children today going through the child protection system, out-of-home care, are the grandchildren of those who were part of the Stolen Generation. So we still have today the legacies of those past policies that continue. It wasn't that generation that were stolen. It's their grandkids and even their great-grandchildren. The impact is continuing.
That was Uncle Andrew Jacquemos, a Yorta Yorta and Greek heritage man who is the Victorian Aboriginal Children's Commissioner. Now, Eva Jo, I mean, what is the... I asked Uncle Andrew about the legacy of the Stolen Generation's experience on people directly, but then also their families and communities. What's your experience?
What do you see? Yeah.
I guess the impact to our children and I guess our grandchildren, it's I guess when you grow up institutionalized, okay, you are brought up with, you know, not being told you're loved every day or you're wanted. You're not hugged and kissed and you're never going to amount to anything. So when you become a parent, to give that love and hugs and kisses to your children, which should come naturally to us, is a really hard thing to do. So you've, as much as you love and adore your children or your child, it's very hard to demonstrate that, you know, to give that naturally to your children. So I guess as a child grows up, you know, I guess as much as you don't say it every day, the children grow up with not feeling and sensing that love. You know, and it doesn't always happen like that, but it's happened a lot with those of us that were institutionalised. And I guess, you know, to filter that down, like my own experiences was a bit like that. You know, I was taken as a 5-year-old. So as soon as I loved, adored, cherished, smothered my children when they were born, but as soon as they turned 5, they were regimented into that institutionalisation process.
With that behaviour you experienced.
That I experienced, you know. And you know, my kids were the ones that had to teach me, hey, Mum, I love you. you know, and that's something that should just be blurted out because we do. But, you know, Mum, I need a hug, you know, to be reminded of things like that. That's something that, you know, never came naturally. And through my children being amazing children, you know, work through that with me, and it is a natural thing, and every now and again the odd, hey Mum, can I have a hug, you know, and it's okay, you know, and it's like anything, we all need to be reminded sometimes, you know, but it is, and it does filter down, but I know I'm going to make a better nan. I'm a nan, mm-hmm. you know, and I have many more grandchildren to come. I know that, and it is going to be a little bit easier, you know?
I met you, Eva Jo, through... I used to be the chairperson of the Sorry Day Committee here in Victoria, and when the Bringing Them Home report was tabled and Sorry Day was, May 26th was a time or a day we had to acknowledge, I distinctly remember the Aboriginal community here in Victoria and Melbourne in particular people were very... I'm not overwhelmingly, but people had to kind of get over their attitudes around Johnny Come Lately kind of stuff, or this person's coming back into our community to, mm-hmm. you know, kind of get, I don't know, benefits that Aboriginal people supposedly get from being Aboriginal. But mm-hmm. I remember we had to do some work around that. And I guess, have you had an experience of Indigenous people within the Aboriginal community not accepting you because of your removed...
I guess,
upbringing?
Yeah. In my own way, yes. You know, I've been in my community 25 years, you know, and it had taken me a good 15, 20 years to be accepted, mm-hmm. you know, and I thought when I first came to community, I'm going to be fine because, you know, I'm an Edwards.
Yeah. And that's the biggest mob, if you don't know.
No one everywhere. Yeah. Yes. And it just was like a door slammed in my face, yeah. you know. Don't get me wrong. I love my community and I work in my community, you know, and it's, but it, I've chiseled away. You know, and I have just kept going and going and going because I have a story, you know, and I didn't have a choice, mm-hmm. you know. I was taken away from my community, you know, and they didn't know where I was or, you know. So when I come back, oh, who were you and who was your parents? And, you know, when you say who it was, oh, my God, we're related, you know. But it's even not about that. It is that really, you know, wanting that sense of belonging, mm-hmm. you know, because you're growing up, you know, with non-Aboriginal parents, and look,
or
I
acting
am
acting white and feeling black.
Feeling black, mm-hmm. absolutely. Says, yeah. And you know, I love who I am, and most of who I am is because of those parents that brought me up, you know, and that institutionalized life that I lived, and I can't change that, you know, they're my influences, but I am somebody that, has worked very, very hard within my Aboriginal community to be accepted and to make an existence. You know, I needed a sense of belonging, and I have found that. It took me actually 45 years,
wow.
if not 48 years, to find that and my sense of belonging. And I've lived here 45 years I've lived in Melbourne. You know, and I have a sense of belonging and I know who I am and I'm loved by my children and that's all that matters to me. And I'm loved by those that, you know, who are on my way, who I meet on my journey.
Or me, yeah. Just
absolutely. I did. You are just
me.
So beautiful, Brian, you know, and they're my influences too that make me, the people around me is what makes me who I am, you know, and I consider myself a really pretty easygoing, lovely person, you know.
Now, Kath, you've did a bit of a vox pop down at the Apology concert with a French Canadian.
The French Canadian guy, yeah. Yeah, no, you know, you have to kind of get a feeling for the night in that there were thousands of us there up on stage. Throw a few names: Christina Nu, Uncle Kutcher, Archie Roach. Who else was up there? Blue-eyed,
Brown.
Yes,
who's that beautiful girl?
The girl, Thelma Plum.
What a dish!
Oh, goddess!
Beautiful
that
goddess!
Was amazing. Mm-hmm. Who else was up there? I mean, it was a huge night.
Oh, it was hip hops.
Yeah. Weren't they fantastic?
Jim Blah, rather. Yeah.
Is that it?
Adelaide-based rapper. He was fantastic.
Oh.
It totally took off. And right at the end, they had My Island Home version, Christina New starting it with Blue King Brown, and then everyone came up on stage. And, of course, you know, in all the melee, as everyone's sort of, you know, trying to pull themselves back together to be able to face outside the fence, which was sort of tricky, I ran across this lovely fellow, Paris was his name, French-Canadian guy.
Can I ask you, did you come along for the music or for the Apology Day celebration or all of that? Or
Both, yeah. I follow Indigenous issues and quite support this cause, and also to see a lot of amazing Indigenous artists on stage, you know, coming together for this amazing event. It's just mind-blowing. Yeah, to see, like, you know, like Christiane New, you know, wrapping it up, and with the local boys, you know, and yeah, and an Indigenous boy from up north doing it, you know, quite amazing to see all that, yeah.
Nice.
And
do you remember when Prime Minister Kevin Rudd made the apology speech 6 years ago? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that, and saw that on TV, and I remember the march across the Sydney Harbour Bridge, quite moving, and I think right step for the nation in that sense, you know. I think in Canada they've done you know, big progress in the Indigenous issues, and Australia to follow suit in Canadian and then we'll be a better nation, you know, with dealing with our past.
Hi, this is Kathy Freeman, and you're listening to Australia's gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
I was invited up to the apology by Jenny Macklin because I'd written her a letter saying, you know, how they took us away, how they committed genocide and all that there. So I was invited up to the apology, and yeah, I was a VIP for a grassroots person. I thought that was sort of something way out of the blue, you know. It meant that they recognised that we were taken, and bad things that happened, you know, bad things that happened to me through the institutions, sex abuse and violence, right? And I say that I am a stolen, assimilated, correctionalised, grassroots government-made man. Yeah, 10 years of institution, next 13 years in and out of prison, from 56 to 79, I've had lots to do with the government and law in one way or the other, but the apology, it's just the first step, you know. They just apologise for the stolen generation. They have not apologised for the genocide that they have done, you know, the massacre of our mob and all that there, you know. So there's a lot left to be done, Brian. Yeah.
You've mentioned that the apology is the first step. What should happen afterwards?
Black fellas should be housed. Better health for our people who have suffered through their assimilation policies with abuse, and the government, it's their job to do something about it. You know, they just can't continue wanting to control our lives. And the billion the dollars that are spent on black fellas that are taken by white positions and building big things for white people in the outback places that, and in the city here, that there's a lot they've got to do yet, you know. But a change is going to come. I feel there's a change coming, Brian, and by the grace of the Great Spirit Bunjil, who leads me in my journey of I'm fighting the government to find out where they get their jurisdiction from, where they get their sovereignty from, and where do they get their consent from, you know. So I'm fronting court to ask these questions. But today is a very special day. Another special day in the life of blackfellas here in Australia.
That was Uncle Teljum, or we all know him as Uncle Chocker Edwards, and that's our special guest, Eva J. Edwards' brother.
I know.
Tell us about Uncle Chock.
Oh, he has had an amazing journey, you know, lots of ups and downs, and, you know, he does make us all very proud, you know. Institutionalisation is something that you never get over, mm-hmm. you know, and it was like, who was it? Who's the uncle with the long grey hair?
Jack Charles.
Uncle Jack Charles, yeah.
Uncle Jackie Charles, you know, like, in one of the DVDs that we've put together, he mentions, you know, growing up institutionalised and knowing all these kids, you know, your entire childhood, and you know, you make some bad choices on the way, and you might end up in the College of Knowledge, you know, which is Pentridge for those that don't know. But the sad thing about it all, Sue, is when they went there, they were like they were back home, because the people on the other sides of those walls were actually all children that were at one time institutionalised, and that's Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal. So the safety of those walls, you know, Uncle Chocks has survived those and survived being a merchant marine, is that what it's called? Anyway, travelling to South Africa and us not knowing about apartheid, you know, like he wasn't allowed to leave the docks of South Africa, you know.
Oh, goodness.
I know. Wow. Like,
got turned away at the gates or the dock.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They didn't know what to do. It was the first time thing that this Aboriginal man came up with all the other seamen.
Yeah.
We know what you meant.
From all the sailors, yes, the sailor boys.
Great place to use that word. You're with Joy, of course. And this is Lefty Pinkos.
Now we've got a message from a listener who says, should the gay community follow the Indigenous community's lead and seek an apology for all those lives ruined through incarceration under sodomy laws pre-1984? The acknowledgement is so important in moving on. I think it's from Al who sort of offered that. And
interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting quote, because I mean, like, I guess within our state here, the Napthine government has offered, I guess, to retract those, what am I trying to say here? They're looking to basically those that were criminalised under those sodomy laws pre-1984 are actually going to have their...
Records expunged
is the term I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but I guess there are parallels there with, I guess, the queer community and the Indigenous community being at the mercy to pretty archaic laws that have sought to suppress, oppress and deny people the right to live the life that they want to live. And, I mean, I'm just sort of mindful too, we just celebrated the Melbourne Indigenous Arts Festival and we had the amazing Uncle Noel Tovey present his play Little Black Bastard. You saw it, didn't you, Kath?
Last weekend, we both did. We went on different nights.
Yes.
And Noel is one of those people who straddles, well, all of this really, the being affected by the anti-sodomy laws, being affected by the stolen generation practices, and I guess
he was incarcerated, and then he kind of just fled the country looking for a better life because Australia, with their crappy laws, didn't give him the rights and the
so he had to go to London.
He took off to London.
And he got the life that he wanted, and now he's back.
Yeah, but there's definitely parallels there, isn't there? And thanks for that.
And intersections.
Thanks for that that message. But if you've got any more, you might want to throw it Eva Jo, our guests. It's 0427JOY949. We've got an email asking to play some Tina Arena, but we've actually...
Really? What are you thinking? Sorry. No, thank you.
We'd love to play. I mean, I love Tina. Like, I mean, there's like a parallel, like, I'm in chains, you know, oppressive laws, I don't know, but...
I hope it's a really good song, but I don't think we've got the time.
Yeah, we can't play Tina because we've lined up a great list of Aboriginal artists as part of this foray into Apology Day.
Which is last Thursday.
That's right.
Feb 13th, to be exact.
Yes.
With, I guess, Eva Jo, on dates, I mean, tell us about Sorry Day. Like, it's celebrated every May 26th. But what
26th,
is Sorry Day?
Sorry Day, I guess, came out of the Deaths in Custody, Royal Commission into the Deaths in Custody of Aboriginal people. And when they'd interviewed, I think, if not half to 70% of those that were incarcerated were actually people that were institutionalised and became, you know, which were part of the stolen generations. And that's where in 1997, yes, Brian?
Yep, 97, the Bringing Them Home report was tabled.
Was tabled. And and I guess out of the Sorry Day committee that you was part of,
I was going to throw the question to you and get away with that. But yeah, I guess the Bringing Them Home report was tabled in federal parliament in 1997.
Amazing report.
Well, an amazing report that had 54 recommendations as to how to address
the legacy of Stolen Generations policies. And I guess the interesting thing about, I guess, what happened was under pre-1967, people often think that as the year that the Aboriginal person got to vote. Mm-hmm. But it's about the year that the federal government took responsibility for Indigenous affairs. So prior to that, you had states and territories pretty much govern their own jurisdictions or their populations of Aboriginal people. And so those states, like you think of states like, say, Queensland or WA.
Scary.
Kath, don't freak out. Yeah, but it's like, you know, they actually controlled their Aboriginal population, so they could do effectively what they wanted. And places like Queensland actually had laws that then influenced the apartheid regime in South Africa. Mm. So it kind of, you know,
we
like Queensland.
Exactly.
We kind of invented it in a sense in terms of segregation. Then we kind of spread it to the world, to South Africa. So I kind of look at, you know, those cricketers who kind of say, we're not going there and play cricket. It's like, well, you got similar situations that were born here in your own country. The Bringing Them Home report looked at, I guess, the experience in each of those states and territories and recommended 54 recommendations as to allow people to heal. Mm.
An apology was only one of those, recommendations. And you know, a lot of people worked very hard on bantering, I guess is that the word, that government actually apologised. And we did get the apology in Redfern.
The Redfern speech with Paul Keating.
Yes, Keating. Yeah. Paul Keating, yeah. And
actually, you were there, Kath, weren't you?
I was there.
There to hear it.
Mm. Yeah. And I you could tell history was being made.
It was a watershed moment, wasn't it? Probably the first time a government minister had uttered or acknowledged that children were removed, land was stolen, lives were lost under the process of invasion and colonisation.
Mm. And at that point, the government actually made a commitment to do something about it, and I guess that's where we're still waiting for the next bit. Actually, do we have that young woman at the end? I seem to end up interviewing the non-Aboriginal people on the night. We're not trying to do that on purpose. It just sort of ended up that way.
It wasn't a racial segregation thing.
But I found this gorgeous young woman, and it's interesting because earlier Eva Jo Edwards had said to us that sometimes it's the younger people who can be better educated on these things.
Is it the Izzy one?
No. Yes, it is. It's Izzy. And just to have a listen to this young woman. She's an inspiration.
I guess it always concerned me that there's still children being stolen, Aboriginal children are still being stolen today, and that people talk about the stolen generation, but it's stolen generations, and that is still happening, that apartheid is still in place and that genocide is still happening in this country. And unfortunately, politicians' words tend to be a bit hollow. There's the sorry, but where is the action? And that's what I want to see.
What would you like to see?
I'd like to see proper Aboriginal representation in Parliament. There should be an Elders Council. There should be representatives from all the Aboriginal communities in government with the same amount of control and power and the same amount of say as the rest of the government. In fact, our whole system needs to be overlooked and reworked in a way that respects Indigenous people and the environment. So, yeah, we've got a long way to go.
Well, Deadly. There you have it.
That was Izzy from the apology concert last Thursday,
fantastic,
interviewed
Izzy.
By Kathia. But it's unfortunate because we have to wrap things up.
We do.
How fast is that car?
I know.
Time flies.
It just goes.
Oh my gosh.
Eva Jo, thank you so much for coming in for tonight to be with us. It's just been
Thanks
fantastic.
Thanks for having me. It's been amazing. Good night to all you people out there.
Joy 94.9.
Hello there, funny lady Judith Lucy, and of course you're listening to Joy 94.9. Well, you'd be just plain f***ed in the head if you listened to anything else.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.